Hello once again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is, has been, and intends to remain your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. What that basically means is we're not a little niche operation. We do everything, and we do it well. Sometimes that's hard, I know. I guess we don't do everything. We don't get into really crazy exotics, although I've brokered some, I've had multi-million dollar coins in my shop. Some of the most famous coins in existence have been through our shop. There's a 1913 Liberty Nickel. Only five were ever minted. I've had two of them through my shop. One just sold, I think, last week for over $4 million. We've had a couple, there's like 12 1804 silver dollars ever made. We've had two of those. Two 1885 proof trade dollars. We've had one of those. I don't know how many, maybe six 1927 D. St. Gaudens. We had one of those. We brokered years back at $660,000. Now the coin's probably worth $6 or $7 million, etc. I think I mentioned in the past, I had the privilege of bringing a person to the investment precious metals industry named Nat Turner, who now bought out Collectors Universe, Collector, you know, PCGS Heritage, everything in our industry pretty much. That's kind of interesting. He was the head of oil exploration for Exxon North America when I met him, and he wanted to get into gold, and we met in Costa Rica. It was totally divine. It was a very divine appointment, providential. So God's given me kind of a really fun road. It's really bizarre. I don't understand it. Some people think I'm full of it, but I got witnesses. So anyway, we've just been down a really interesting, cool road, and we believe in what we do. What I was getting at is we're not heavy into exotic coins, but I love them. I mean, good material. This industry, this sector as a whole, my industry, precious metals-based assets, with numismatic, semi-numismatic, everything, it's great. I mean, we have, you know, there you can go from precious metals to semi-precious or semi-numismatic. We have a number of things. You can get $5, $10, and $20 gold pieces from days of yore, pre-1933 stuff. Really trading right now at really ridiculously low premiums. I guess I'll just leave it at that. They're very well priced. You can get $5 Indians, $10 Indians, all that stuff. A $10 Indian's about a half ounce of gold, and it's trading probably right in the range of about a half ounce American Gold Eagle. But you're getting antique coins, which you can go figure that out. The upper end or the potential is a lot greater when you've got the gold and the upside of numismatics. And you're like, oh, you know, if everything goes to crap, okay, great. So what? You're buying a gold and you can win two ways. One thing that's really bizarre, first of all, I think one thing I want to talk about that is just so important to understand. Everything that's happened in our world, one after the next, is Hegelian dialectic. Hegel, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. He theorized, or whatever you want to call it, proposed, theorized, that you create the problem, you happen to have the solution, and you are the hero, the government. So take a look at COVID. Here comes the problem. We got the solution. We have first, you know what? How they baited us in 2 weeks to smooth the curve. You like that one? I'm a pretty loving guy, and I really find myself wanting to wring Anthony Fauci's neck. This guy is such an unethical, dishonest, unscrupulous, deceptive individual. And why in the world this guy has any authority over our world or our nation? Give me a break. An unelected goofball with a really sordid history when it comes to all this vaccination stuff and pharmaceuticals. But then we have the old propaganda. We've got the left-wing media that lies. Folks, we're at a point where how far do the lies go? I know for a fact, people that are in la-la land. They don't look, they don't read, they get their Apple News or on your phone, do you want Apple News Plus? You know, pay your other $9 a month so we can really lie to you good. And you can pick whatever news sources you want as long as they're on their list. Guess what? The good ones aren't. People listen to Fox. Fox is very cliche. You know, they have all your standard stories and all this and that. And they take certain situations and blow them out of proportion and make you really mad about a girl who got kicked out of school in kindergarten because a teacher was mean, you know. And everyone's like, that's wrong, that's wrong. It's right, it's wrong. But it's a distraction. It's not focusing us on the grand scenario. We have to know the difference between symptoms and problems. You cannot solve a problem by chasing symptoms, okay? All of these things that we're experiencing are symptoms of the problem. They're symptoms of imposed and mandated socialism. Hegelian dialectic is designed specifically for the purpose of taking people over. We're made a certain way. Why? Do you realize how much faith we put in our government? Do you realize that? People believe, oh, the government's going to take care of me. The government's going to pay me. The government's going to feed me. The government's going to give me health care. The government is a corrupted blot of trash that is consuming, you know, hundreds of times our taxation income or revenue. The government is a bunch of radicals. There's people, isn't it interesting? Our founders were concerned with the government. They were afraid of it. They were terrified by it. They were up against it. And you know how when, I don't know what everyone's life is like, but mine has a few turns and twists and mountains and valleys. And when you're facing fear, okay, when you're afraid of something legitimate, you see things very clear. God did that on purpose. Jesus was facing the knowledge of his crucifixion. He didn't joke around a lot. There are, you know, and that's interesting. I think there's, you know, they talk about him laughing one time or something like that. But he could see it all. He knew what was coming. Right? And then when you see, when you take a look at, well, I'm thinking of everybody from, you know, Paul. Paul was under incredible pressure in the Bible, chasing him. He'd already killed. I don't think he specified to us what he did to Christians, but it's terrible. You know, even John was feeling some pressure. And then you get down, you know, to the point where look at Trump. I mean, Trump was under pressure. And the things they see and the way they see it, David wrote some incredible Psalms under great pressure. When Saul was chasing him and later, you know, so we basically, I think we get clarity under certain kinds of pressure. That's, you know, and then people take that to the extreme. But you learn what matters. When you get down to the raw basics, you know what matters. And in our country, our founders were on a lot of pressure. They were under a ton of pressure from England. And they chose life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Think about that. They wanted life. Last week was Veterans Day. And think about it. I mean, do we even know what that even means anymore? We've got this stack up of these wars that make no sense, you know, from Nam and, you know, and you move forward from there. You got weird ones like Grenada, things people don't even know about. Iraq, we blew that one back in the day, or Iran, I mean. And then we you know, now we've done the Syria and the ISIS, and now we're going to pay Al-Qaeda. I mean, these people are sick in the head. I believe sincerely that Biden watched Obama operate. And I think Obama was the dirtiest, slimiest, most brilliant genius. He was an absolute social engineer. Brilliant. We are paying now in so many ways from a man who did things to this nation that should have never, ever been done. Creating nothing but division. you know, we always have historical political division. But I mean, honestly, when in the history of this nation, I mean, I wasn't around for the Civil War, but when in the history of this nation have we ever had, or even in the history of any great nation who's ever had, the level of division that they've sown among us? You go into, like I said, Proverbs 6, I've talked about, where it says, there's six things that God hates, no seven. And they put things intelligently from least to most important, like a list. That's why in Greek, the first will be last and the last is first. That's the way they wrote. If you made a list of 10 things that were important, do you put the most important thing first and then go down to the least important? That's what we do sometimes, kind of silly. But in Greek, well, and Hebrew, I'm sorry, Hebrew, when you get into Proverbs, the very last one is, he who sows discord among brothers or brethren. Somebody who sows discord, not responds to it or reacts to it, but sows it. How do you sow it? There's only, I don't know, any other way other than lies, bearing false witness. We're living in a time where the commandment about bearing false witness is out the door. I mean, it doesn't matter. False accusations, lies, incrimination, false everything. People that are talking, you know, Trump, this Adam Schiff, these people are sick, gross, rotten, wretched people. And I pray that God's justice falls upon them. I am aware of, you know, you go back to Anthony Weiner, Mr. Wonderful. You know, the guy's a total arrogant, obnoxious, big mouth fool. He came out over and over, and I'm like, the Lord's going to knock your head out of the park, brother. And I've seen it happen with other people, and here it comes. I think, well, Fauci's got to be one. Fauci's got to go down. We saw Andrew Cuomo from New York go down. Pride comes before a fall. God will deal justice. You get that Adam Schiff. I mean, just saying. He's the guy that, you know, pushed all the Trump stuff. And then they ask him, do you regret it now that, oh, how about this? Now that the Steele dossier has been proven false. I mean, you know what the Steele dossier is? It's a crock of hooey that was, I can't even remember, Michael Steele, whatever his name is. It'll come to me, but it doesn't matter. He provided supposedly all this stuff autonomously and supposedly objectively. And it was, gosh darn, coincidentally, it got paid for by the Clinton campaign during her run against Trump. And you talk about terrible filth, guys. Just the most wretched, horrible things. I mean, terrible things. Saying that Trump was flying to Russia, engaging in illicit sexual activity. And then, I'm just being honest, I'm going to bounce through this, but it's fact, you need to know. They came up with all these hideous, filthy things about him doing things with bodily functions, okay? Defecation, urination. My bad, sorry, just telling you. That was the president of the United States being falsely accused. Can you imagine a man like that going undergoing that? Folks, people don't even understand Donald Trump. And I don't either, but I have an idea. I ran up against guys like that when I was a banker in Bank of America. As a regional sales manager, I dealt with all the accounts, and this is in the 90s, with a net worth of $5 million or greater. In the 90s, that's a lot of dough. And then, you know, there's people that net worth $5 million or greater meant $50 million. I dealt with people that own cities. And they, you know, I saw it all. I was telling a friend last night about a guy who tried so hard to be humble, okay, but false humility, godless humility. False pride. And you need to understand that. You know, what is it? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Arrogance, self-centered arrogance, narcissism. he had this old beater crapped out pickup, and I was a banker boy, you know. I was my, you know, 30-some-year-old. There was a day I was a good-looking young lad driving around in a nice car making, you know, really good money for the time. And I would take these types of people out to lunch, and I took this guy out, and of course, he's like, can I drive? Well, yeah, right. So, sure, I didn't know. Let's cop. And he's got this old beater piece of garbage truck. And then he's literally got the hanger on the carburetor. We're going back to the 60s now. This guy's worth over $50 million in the 90s. And he thinks he's so humble. But you know what? He's the cheapest man I've ever met. Filthy rich, filthy miserable, horrible to his employees. He owned car dealerships, huge electronics companies, real estate companies, Harley dealerships, boat dealerships, manufactured housing. He had tons going. So I went around at Christmas one year. I went to his electronics store. This is years back. And I bought about a quantity of the biggest TVs I could get at the time. And then I went to another one of his businesses and I bought all these very expensive, really nice Harley jackets. And I did that at the GM dealership, etc. And then I took the gifts that I bought from his company and then I sorted them out with other parts of his company. So in other words, I paid the money to him to buy the product, so he just to make it that much better. And he took me out and he lit me up. He said, if you ever do anything like that again, I will cut the relationship off with your bank. And I'm like, what in the world? You have no right to compensate my employees, and you don't know them, and they don't deserve this, and they don't deserve that. And I was like, whoa, dude. And this was, I was a young bucky, and I would get right in people's faces in a professional manner. And I told them, I said, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And I went through my whole spiel at the time. I had no clue that was coming, but he could not help himself. He died. Oh, man, I heard about 6 or 7 years later, bitter, mad. Apparently, he had a sister and a brother. They would have nothing. No one would have anything to do with him. His wife left long ago. He died alone in a kind of a hospice care thing. He was there a lot longer than they expected because he's too stubborn to die. Of course, I shared the Lord with him as best as I could at the time. I do it differently now. I like to talk to people. It's really important that you don't talk at people. And there's a lot of different personalities, some of us. It's so weird how people, confidence is such a weird thing. So many people have different personalities where they'll do things to control, okay? Some people will talk long and they'll never stop and they'll just ramble on and they're really not saying much of anything, but they're eating up all of your time as they linger their words, you know? And then you'll get people that create a defensive posture. They'll say things that sort of offend, you know, and step you back where you're like, well, I have to defend myself. You know what the hardest thing is? To overlook those kind of offenses. And this guy was the guy that would offend. He would just get in your face and offend, and he was dark and he was hard. And it never, and I mean, I didn't mean to talk about this guy. I'm not telling you who he was, but I'm telling you, the guy had, you know, on paper, he had it all. And then last thing I'll throw in here, to put it in perspective, we had our wealth and capital trust department, et cetera, and as a regional, of course, I had access to all that information. He was worth in the 90s, mid, late 90s, not too late, but upper late, whatever, about $55 million bucks that he had with us. $55 million in like 1990, whatever, that we knew of. That's what we knew of. That's not counting all of his real estate holdings and all this stuff. And I went to that guy's house that day. He lived in a double-wide mobile home out on a bunch of land, and it was pathetic. He didn't even have a nice recliner, okay? What's my point? Don't do that. I know none of you are ever going to have that kind of money. Neither am I. But you know what? Let yourself enjoy the life God gave you. We watch Jesus and we go, well, Jesus went without everything. Well, Jesus was God and he was here for a reason. He was here as a living sacrifice. He was here to spread a message, and he made a point. He made a point that nothing he did was had any monetary dependence or relevance whatsoever. The message that Jesus put out was independent of money or cash or influence or power. He was speaking the word of God, which is kind of a trip now because it's in our Bible. You know, that's his word. I mean, that is the word of God. And I will tell you, I've had people, when we talk about like pre-trib, post-trib rapture stuff, when I quote Jesus, I had a guy go, well, you know, you gotta have two or more witnesses or whatever in the Bible. There's some old verse like that. And I'm like, I'm just saying, but think when Jesus speaks, I'm going to kind of go with that. And then if someone goes, well, you know, you don't know for sure that's translated, right? Well, then we throw the thing in the garbage. If you guys ever do any research, there is no question at how righteously or accurately our Bible has been preserved. It is the Word of God. It is a miracle. And it's been preserved so accurately, it's insane. They did a great job. It's a miracle, okay? So the word that we read today is the word that was written. I highly recommend to you, I like Blue Letter Bible. It's just a Bible site. I'm not pitching one thing. I have no vested interest or anything. But I like it because you can go to each word in a scripture and you can look up the Greek or the Hebrew. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, the Old Testament's in Hebrew, which is sort of the language of God in a way. It's pretty cool. And the New Testament is Greek. And so you can study it in there in its original language. And boy, does it make a difference. It is not the same. And I would recommend that. And then if you're using like Blue Letter Bible or whatever, give them a donation. They need it. Give them some money. I mean, they're producing a good product. There's things, I think their search feature has a, one thing I don't like is it's got an autofill thing that tends to put in the wrong word. There's a few things they could change, but overall it's a pretty good site. So I would highly recommend it. So let us talk. Let me see something here. I'm just looking at all my notes here. This is some interesting stuff. Values are presumed to be religious, specifically Christian. The imposition on masses of blah, blah, blah. These are notes I wrote a long time ago. There's some interesting stuff there. So anyway, there's just so much. I think I want to kind of buckle down a little bit. We have, oh man, there's so many things. Let me grab this. Here's what we need to talk about. I don't ever give myself enough time on this, and I think I bounce in and out of the monetary stuff. But folks, I think it's so important that you understand money. People ask me so many questions. I had a guy today that was doing some work for me outside, an outside source that was working for me. And he's like, well, so what do you think about gold right now, Kevin? And he goes, what do you think about the most recent spike? Is it going to hold? And I'm like, you know, I don't see a spike. What I see is what I call packing down the dirt. And what do I mean by that? It's like a spring when it goes brrrr, and you'll see a run, you'll see a regression or a correction, and then you'll see it repeat on, you know, a couple few times, and it'll flatline out. That's what I see. And I see a market that is poised to blow sky high. Metals aren't supposed to be investments. They're supposed to be money. They are the preservation of wealth. That's what metals are. They're money. Always have been. Always will be. God said it. If you look at on the grand and the micro scale, I'm looking at various graphs here with my terrible eyes. I'll put on my $2 Costco glasses so I can have superpowers. So, you know, we've got gold going back. It depends how far you want to go back. I'm looking at all kinds of things. So let's go back 6 months. Let's go back a year. Let's go back 5 years. Okay, here we go. So on 5 years, we've got the COVID wake up. We have Jan 2020, gold hit 1650, dropped all the way down to 1560. So, you know, what is that, 5%, 6% drop. Then it kind of recovers a little bit. It hits 1770 and drops down to 1660. Recovers, comes back. Then you get a little bit of a rally here. We hit $2,030 gold. It recovers. It actually hung there. It's a little more of a long cycle. It goes down, but we're only talking in less than a month. It comes back down to about 1815 is the low. And then it goes back up to 1917, and then it goes back down to 1780, and then it repeats, and it kind of sputters. And now we're in this flatline mode. I mean, frankly, folks, we're waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting. The paper world is waiting to see what happens with this Biden anomaly, okay? We have now combined our economic system globally. I don't know if it's fully functional, but look what they're doing. Shut down shipping, everything. Push everybody back. Everyone's tied into the same problem now. You got to have vaccines. By the way, fake, don't work. Lies, my goodness, the stuff I'm reading now, mRNA, out of control. I know a bunch of you had it. Good luck. There are things that are so wrong. People that get the vaccinations are dying by the droves. And I've got a doctor, a whole write-up on this thing. Let's see. I didn't see. I saw Kyle Rittenhouse trial today. I didn't get to see if they finally went to the verdict. I don't think they did. But, you know, so let's see here. Sorry, I had to send a little picture I found of when my wife and I were down in Florida and we got to hang out with Jeff Foxworthy. It popped up on my iPad. That was a wonderful incident, and we enjoyed that. So here I am again, crazy as they get, looking for stuff. So I think I'll let it go. So I think what's important, I'm going to just try to stick to this stuff here. So our political climate, with the Hegelian dialectic that I started out, is thesis, antithesis, synthesis. If you look at 9/11, and I've talked about my beliefs, I think that was the collapse of Mystery Babylon. I mean, like I said, I can defend it. I've done it on the radio. I've had people listen to me. It goes over their head. I've met with people in person. We've gone over it, and they get it. I'm telling you, biblically, there's a trust factor. I agree. But I've researched it. There is no scripture that contradicts it at all. Just doesn't. Okay, so I sincerely believe that it's the case, that it was the collapse of Mystery Babylon, and I believe that we're heading. I mean, if you knew the grand total of all the net worth exposure or the revenue processing or generating exposure of every business that was in the trade towers, it is far, far, far more than the United States GDP at the time. And it fits in every way. The biggest buildings in the world, the arrogance, but The beauty but the arrogance, the money flowed like water. The city that changed everything, transformed the globe. I believe that was the collapse of Mystery Babylon. And wasn't it convenient on the year 2001? Let's just say, hypothetically, Adam and Eve were born, and just say they went about 2,000 years to the flood, or born, they were created 2,000 years to the flood, 2,000 years from the flood to Christ, and 2,000 years from Christ to now-ish. That is, and then Peter says, do not neglect this one fact, that to the Lord, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Okay? So we're on six. So what did God created in 6 days and he rested on the seventh? So where are we? Pretty close. Pretty close. If 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years, well, we're sitting on somewhere near the end of the sixth day, I guess. I mean, when is a day over? At the end? Yeah. So if you start day one, if I go, okay, today's day one, 24 hours, done. Day two, 24 hours, done. The day is done at the end, not the beginning. So if you go 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 6,000, all the way to 6,000 years, it's obviously at the end that that day is finished. We don't know exactly when that hits. And there's all these things about Jesus and what the real calendar is. And I was talking recently about my belief that's a little radical, that we literally are living in the end of the end of the end, that trade towers were the collapse, or the collapse of trade towers was Mystery Babylon. And now we're about halfway through. The Bible says in Revelation 14 that the angel that was responsible for spreading the gospel around the world rejoiced and said, it's done. And pretty much in the very, I mean, it's done. It wasn't. Everyone maybe hadn't heard it, but it was moving. It was spreading. It was handled. Okay. The very next thing is another angel comes out and says, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. So Mystery Babylon falls. And it's always, in this case, fallen, fallen. Nowhere else in the Bible is there a double act like that. Fallen, fallen every time. Whatever that means, boom, boom. Talks about a strong angel taking a millstone or a large millstone, which is about 6.5 tons, picking it up and throwing it straight down into the sea, saying, this is how Mystery Babylon's going down. Not, hey, this is a city. It is a city, but no description of a nuclear type behavior or the horizontal effect of a bomb or ballistics or anything like that. Just wham, down it goes. Okay. So here's the deal. So God used our enemies to destroy our trade towers. I don't know the whole ins and outs. I've discussed briefly Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, who did The Harbinger. You got to read that or see that. That'll clear your head right up. There's things, God is amazing, man. Things happen in places for a reason without any doubt. I mean, just mind-boggling. And then you go through Revelation 18. It's hard for me not to do it right now because I do it so often. But every verse, bam, 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 wrapped in red, white, and blue, you know, linen, scarlet, and purple, and every item that was processed, or all the things that were consumed through this great high skyscrapers that are mentioned in there, is everything we consume. No other country would fit. We had the largest ports in the world, the greatest processing of imports, and it kept saying they get rich through our sensuality. The word is strenos, which means forced wealth, fiat currency. Somehow we pump that stuff all out there, and it's true. I mean, you go back in history and you look at how poor we were at the time of the Depression. And then somehow with our own innovation and work ethic and fiat currency, we create this massive wealth pot. If you go back before 70, whatever it was, one or two, when Nixon took us off the gold standard, the world didn't have this kind of wealth. It wasn't this madness, okay? Something happened on that day, that hyperinflation. And there was phases, 71 or 72, whatever it is. It started to bring the world in. It brought Arab money in. It brought OPEC oil money in. Then when we get into the 80s, what did we hear about? I don't know if you recall this, but we were hearing all about the Japanese through the 90s. The Japanese were buying us all up because they worked and we didn't. Remember, made in Japan. Everything said made in Japan. No, China came in, knocked them out of the park. Now everything's made in China. Now the Chinese have come in, but they're so much smarter. The Japanese had pride and actual deception. Scheming is not part of their culture. China, on the other hand, scheming is every bit of their culture. They're godless communists, and the state is all that matters, and man, have they lasted, what, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 years. There's a heck of a history. That country, you got to give them kudos. They've done something good. I think you go all the way back to the Tower of Babel. They've got some of the most interesting stuff on their soil. You look through the country, you watch movies about all of the incredible archaeological sites. You think the Great Pyramids are awesome? You should see some of the stuff they've got all over. I mean, it is. They've been around. There's a lot of neat stuff that's happened in that country. The problem is they're smart as a whip. I remember back in the 90s when I was in banking and I was watching a documentary where they were training their pilots. At the time they had this huge fleet of these deadly helicopters like locusts, you know. And I don't know if they still do, but they had more than anyone. And but when they trained, they didn't train as we trained for the enemy. They called, instead of it the enemy, they just used the word America. So they were training to destroy us. They're trained to think this way generationally. Japan was the same way. It's really weird. Building that hate, that desire to destroy, somehow unites people. You know, it gets people with a universal drive. And so financially, without going too far in, they have devastated us, folks. They have taken, people are like, well, they hold all our debt. Yeah, they do, which means they have actual, if you got into the details, they literally have titles to our national parks. This is a fact. Check it out. We've had presidents sign everything over to China. That's why Trump was so ticked off at him. He hated him so bad. But the left is loving it. Why? Because a friend of mine who's, well, a family friend who has a son who's a lobbyist was telling me that, a lobbyist kid told me that the Bidens will leave this administration in 4 years worth over $1 billion. That's why they're there. They're not there for you and me. Pretty obvious. You look at them, you're like, yeah, that ain't working. How about, you know, Mr. What's his name, Biden? Hunter Biden had an art show where he was selling this crap art that he makes, $500,000 a pop. Apparently word got out. The media showed up and they called it off and they were meeting somewhere else later. But this slime bag, I mean, really? His paintings are worth $500,000 a piece? Really? I mean, you and I both know what that is. It's payoffs. These people are slime bags. You look at Trump's family and how tight they ran and how good they were. It's so ridiculous that we're in the middle of this foolishness. So you get to the Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. I could spend time on 9/11. Man, was that thesis, antithesis, synthesis, Hegelian dialectic. You have Rumsfeld and Cheney and all these guys, before that ever happened, signing this agreement called the Project for a New American Century. Or people. Either way. And they said what we need worse than anything is a modern day Pearl Harbor. And that was like 2 years or less before 9/11 happened. And guess what? Everyone who signed those documents was right in the core. They were the ones that needed to step up and do this and do that. They're the ones that changed the rules and changed the ideas. And you get Cheney making it so NATO couldn't call strikes out without calling Cheney and some, or Rumsfeld, and they weren't available. So when, and then the day of 9/11, folks, you may not know this, they were running a drill. That's why you can hear live phone calls where they're like, hey, we've got planes heading towards the towers. And the guy goes, is this a drill or is this for real? The guy goes, this is for real. And he's going, so a reality drill? No, this is real. They had everyone's head spinning. They're just looking at electronic screens, watching this stuff happen. They were set up. It's ugly. So we'll go there. We'll go past that. We talked about, you know, now, 20 years later, 9/11 of 2021, you know, 20 years later, where are we? Oh, we got ourselves a little COVID action there. I mean, in all reality, I don't know what planet you live on, but is any of the garbage that we've done worthy or worthwhile for what COVID truly has proven to be? No. Sorry. If you think it is, you haven't gone and read and done your proper research. Get away from CNN and all this other garbage. Go find alternative material and then bounce through that. Just look for truth. There is no way that it's worthy. So here's what I want to do now, heading forward. I want to just talk about money. People ask a lot about 401ks and IRAs. I've talked about this before. It's important. I think you need to understand, unless you're well into the six figures, you know, people that have $350,000 and stuff like that, then we can do rollover stuff. If you're in the $40,000 or $60,000, even $70,000, $80,000, roll it out. You're not doing anything. You made pre-tax contributions. There's a chance, a pretty high likelihood, that you sure as heck better be making money because of the way the market's gone. And if you're not, and I know recently it hurts and stings, but if you're not in general, that's bad. And you know, and that is what it is. So it is what it is, what it is. But, it, you know, there it lies. So you need, it's like it says in Ecclesiastes, whether a tree falls to the north or to the south, there it will lie. I always like to pull that verse out with groups of people that have never met me before, and you just read the verse and then just watch their faces. It's crazy. It's like, yeah, they don't even know what, they think it's serious here. I'm going to try to find it. It's a beauty. It's one of the weirdest verses ever. I think it's in Ecclesiastes 11. If you ever just want to mess with people's heads, of course, this blue letter Bible, like I said, it's got this autofill feature that popped up that's just crazy. Okay. Is this it? He that observes. Okay, let's get out of this. King James, let's get into a real version. He who watches the wind. Here we go. This is just for fun. It's stupid. But cast your bread on many waters. That's a good one, on the waters. Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. That is weirdly translated. That's supposed to be about investing. Oh my goodness. Let me read what they got now. Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. You know what that is? That's a poorly translated. It means cast your bread into assets. Move your money into assets. That's not where I was going. It says divide your portion to seven or even to eight, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. So he's saying, you know, have real estate, maybe have some diamonds, have some gold, have some silver, maybe some coins, maybe some stock, maybe a teeny bit of Bitcoin, maybe, you know, whatever, but sparse it out. The thing, here's the problem with that. To Solomon, who, by the way, was a bit smart, gold and silver were money. They weren't an investment. People think, well, I'm going to invest in gold and silver. you really aren't investing in gold and silver. You're buying God's money. He's endorsed it as money. Sure, you got this and you got that, and hyperinflation does this and that, but it doesn't matter. God said gold and silver is money. Over time, I think it's done okay. You know, so remember that when you're casting your bread, it's not an investment. It's just hard money. It's always going to be there. Always has, always will. People are going to be chucking it in the streets on the day of wrath, says they can't buy salvation, etc. So we go on, just some goofy verses. If the clouds are full, they pour out rain on the earth. And whether a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, wherever the tree falls, there it lies. Huh? Just saying, that verse is kind of fun. And the last one, Ecclesiastes 11:4. One who watches the wind will not sow, and one who looks at the clouds will not harvest. What does that mean? You always got an excuse. Oh, you know, I'm telling you, if gold goes down another $150, I'll buy it. And, you know, if silver just dropped below 20, then I'd buy it. And that's he's saying, one who watches the wind. What's the wind? It's immeasurable fantasy of the future. You never know where it'll turn. He says, you will not sow. And he who looks at the clouds going, well, you know, it looks like it might rain. I'm not sure it's going to go up. I don't want to buy it unless it's going to go up. That attitude gets you nowhere. Risk. You jump in with both feet. It says, just as you do not know the path of the wind and how bones are formed in the womb of the pregnant woman, true, so you do not know the activity of God who makes everything. Sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening, for you do not know whether one or the other will succeed or whether both of them alike will be good. What's he saying? Sow your seed. Save your money. Do a good job. Put things away. Make good decisions. If you got a business opportunity, do it right, you know. Rentals or whatever. I mean, what? I don't know, you know. Whatever you're into, sow your seed in the morning. You know, right first thing as fast as you can. And do not be idle in the evening. Don't just kick back and hope. Don't hope it's coming in for you. Just keep on rolling. God put us here to work. Apparently that's what he wants us to do. You don't know whether the one or the other will succeed. You don't know where your money is going to come from. But you got an accountability. It's just your life on this earth. We like to get into this fantasy where we're like, well, you know, money this and money that. Well, money is a big part of God's existence, or a big part of the existence he gave us. And that's that. I mean, I don't want to go into Captain Greed here, but I'm telling you, it's everything. It is the core of who we are. It affects our functionality in every possible way. It just matters, you know, it really matters. Whether you like it or not, and none of us do, but it's there. As I said, it's a tangible track record of our heart's condition. That's what God gave money for. It is the core of our existence. You can't do anything without monetary effect. How would you ever live your life without a monetary impact? Oh, Kevin, I'm going to live on disability. Okay, well, you're getting money from the government. Well, I'm going to live on nothing. I'm going to be homeless. Okay, well, good luck. You're going to be broke. And your life's going to be really hard. And then if you get sick or you get a problem, you can't take care of it, and you can't have transportation. Money, 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 money. It's just God gave it to us. It's a huge thing. Gold is mentioned in the Bible over 800 times, and silver is about as much. Very, very significant, profound aspect of our existence. Money is the key. What do you do with your money? Do you blow it gambling? You blow it on booze? Do you blow it? Do you give it to the church? Do you help people? Do you tip well? I'll tell you what, folks, everyone out there listening right now, tip, 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 tip. When you go anywhere, tip, 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 more. People in Idaho, I know we're not in Idaho, but I'm in Washington, but people in Idaho get $3.50 an hour, and then they pay them that because they rely on tips, which is unfair, because they should make a livable wage-ish, and then rely on tips. It's kind of sucky, but it is what it is. When you go out to dinner, tip. If you can, any opportunity to tip anybody, a guy who washes your car, tip. It is a form of charity. Not, you're not showing undue sympathy, or it's not pathetic. It's empathetic. It's kind. It's fruitful. I think I don't need to explain it. I know there's people out there that don't do it. And they're like, well, I don't have enough money to tip. Well, then tip, and God will give you more money. Just ask him to bless it, and I promise he will. Guaranteed. I've seen it. I've lived with it. It's a fact. No lie. Guaranteed. So here's the thing that I come from. When we just simplify life, Genesis chapter 2, God introduces precious metals right after the creation of everything. That is not an accident, okay? It's not an accident. I mean, people are like, well, I coincidence. Yeah, what in the Bible is a coincidence? Nothing. Everything that God did, you go all the way, Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth, man and woman and all that. Genesis 2, and so the heavens and the earth were completed, and then on the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he'd done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. Then it goes down. He repeats, God created man and woman. And then what do we get after that? He goes, okay, it's out of the ground. The Lord caused every tree to grow. This is, okay, let's go 2:8. Well, 2:8. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east and in Eden, and there he placed the man who he'd formed. I believe that was the adult womb. The whole concept of, well, I mean, think about it, folks. If you ever let this come out of your mouth, well, you know, if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned. Yeah, right. Okay? Guess what? There was a few people after that that just might have fallen. Okay? It was the adult womb. That's how it all began. It makes perfect sense. It's kind of like a bizarre Prometheus. He had to put us somewhere, and he gave us full sentience. And then once we developed it, it's interesting, the argument of, where did Eve hear about not eating of the tree? Interesting, right? God didn't speak to Eve. God spoke to Adam about it. And then apparently Adam translated that to Eve, and then the devil came and questioned it, which is interesting because the woman had full conscientiousness, and she was somehow able to choose to maybe doubt her husband. And that's what the devil did. Don't trust him. Don't follow him. And away we went. Free will. And here we are today. And what, I mean, we see some terrible tragedies and horrible things, but we also have beauty and wonder and life and, you know, absolutely terrific experiences. And I think it's really important to pray for people. I don't understand the scales of justice in the universe. And I know there's people that are improperly incarcerated and abused and beaten. And there's wives that are abused by their husbands. There's people that are locked up and aren't, you know, there's horrible things. And you get like the drug cartel stuff where they've killed now, they say, over 100,000 people in just over a decade. Okay, these are horrible things. The way they treat people is it's just beyond, okay? I don't understand the scales of justice. It's sad. It's a bummer. But it seems to be a balance. It's the yin-yang, the Chinese say. It's for every up, there's a down. Again, I don't understand it. But do not be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. Sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. Sow to your spirit, you'll reap life. Okay, that's what we know. So all we can do is take care of ourselves. And maybe we can push the bad off a different direction. I don't want to get too deep into that, but I think it's important that we understand that, right? And we've got to do financially what we've got to do. And here goes TikTok, TikTok. Precious metals have been, okay, let's just do this. Precious metals have proven to be the timeless, permanent, respected, and pinnacle forms of true wealth and capital preservation in every civilized society, enduring every hardship throughout human history. Precious metals have grown in value over, I don't know the number, but since the deregulation, which was about 50 years ago, precious metals are up about, I don't know, what is it, 4,000% or more since 71 deregulation, an average of 100% a year. Since January 1st of 2000, precious metals have risen in value over 2,000%. And I'll just leave that behind. We'll look at the principles, not the price, right? People want to talk about the consumer price index. That's what I need to bounce off. What is the consumer price index? That is what we supposedly calculate inflation upon or from. I had a good roommate in college who was a professor of economics at Montana State University. His name was Paul Seabrath. When I left college, which was about 89, 90, and I was done with all my degrees, and I moved on, and he somehow secured a position as a on the board of the Consumer Price Index. I saw him a decade later. We had a 10-year reunion. And he had left under ethical objection because Clinton had removed major portions of food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs, okay? So when they say inflation 6%, get over it. It's like 20. And that's what you need to understand. There's only one thing in time. There's only one true wealth. There's only one true money, and that is gold and silver, precious metals. It goes with you wherever you go, whenever you go, wherever you go, period. I mean, I have notes back here about when our deficit was half of what it is, and I was warning about things. Hyperinflation's out of control. Bottom line is, folks, here, quick talk. Give us 3 5-star reviews online, 2 free silver dollars. Call us and get yourself secured financially. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.